This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Yep, that can mean but one thing. It is, of course, time for the Norwich City Fan Show right here on Love Sport. I'm Joe Forrester. For the next half an hour, we are talking all things Canaries. Loads and loads to talk about, of course, because Norwich City right in the mire in amongst this controversy and I suppose this delayed decision-making about what is going to happen because of the COVID-19 outbreak. Right, we're going to be talking to Chris Reeve from Talk Norwich City and we're also joined by Darren Eady. Good afternoon, gents.
Good afternoon.
Evening. Good evening, I should say. Sorry.
Who knows anymore? It's all wrapping into one.
Do you know what? Everything is up in the air at the moment. Who knows what's going to happen? As I said, Norwich City, right in the midst of all of this controversy, all this decision-making around the Premier League, relegation issues, what happens with promotion. Chris, if I could start with you, obviously. Norwich, right down there at the bottom of the Premier League. What does your instinct tell you the fairest way to deal with the situation is now?
At the moment, I think the most sensible option would be to have the champions, so to speak, come up. I think you're going to be looking at a bigger Premier League next season, and then the following. So then next season, if that makes sense, you'll then see five teams relegated rather than four. That would be what I would do personally. Mm. I think it would be ridiculous to not give Liverpool the title. And I also think in terms of Norwich City's situation, there will be some unfair, you know, legal disputes if we are to be relegated because of the fact that we've got still five very, very winnable home games. We've played some very tough away games. And I think that certainly the board and the officials at Norwich City Football Club will be extremely unfairly treated if we are to be relegated in the current circumstances.
So what does that mean? Does that mean we would have a diminished championship season next year, or would teams come up from League One into the championship, or would there be a freeze in the Football League and it's only the Premier League that applies to, if you see what I mean?
Great question. I think you could do it either way, but for me, I think you would see a smaller championship. That's what I would do personally. But there's all sorts of shouts, isn't there, about cancelling cup competitions and when the Euros get played and even World Cup conversations now as well. So, but for me, I think the most sensible option is the bringing up those teams from the championship. And then the following season, having five teams relegated from the Premier League, because it's just ridiculous to see three teams go down from the Premier League with the amount of money on the table. Mm. And even if you think about, you know, us potentially coming back and when we play, it's forecast obviously that we'll be back in action against Arsenal. For me, even if that game is behind closed doors, it's a massive disadvantage for Norwich City Football Club.
Yeah, absolutely. Darren, let me ask you, as a player, what's going through a player's mind right now? Are they thinking, oh, well, will we go down? Hang on, will it be an expanded Premier League? What will happen to us? Or are they simply thinking about their teammates, looking at what's happened to Arsenal, looking at Callum Hudson-Odoi and thinking, do you know what, safety for our personnel is a priority?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they are human beings at the end of the day and safety is paramount. But I think they're going to stir crazy, like most people will be. Generally without the football being on. Footballers need that buzzing, need that playing, they need to be out there training, they need all that. So it will be a difficult time for them. But, you know, I, like Chris said, I think they'll extend the Premier League in terms of the teams in it. I don't think you could finish this season. I think that's ridiculous. I think the season has to go now. I just don't understand how you could bring it back in a couple of weeks' time. And if, you know, people start to go down with the COVID-19 virus then, what do we do then? Do we shut the clubs again then? So I don't think it's a possibility. I think the season will end now. I agree that teams should come up. But particularly in the lower leagues, I think it's important for those teams to decide. So given the option, so Leeds and West Brom and perhaps Fulham are given the option to come into the Premier League. And same with the League One side to go into the Championship. And because even the lower leagues, you know, when you've got certain facilities, actually it's not a good idea to go in the league above. So some teams might want to take that as an option, whether that could be something that's done. But I can't see the season being finished past June because of player contracts. There's just too much involved. And look, there's going to be some people who are going to lose out on this, no matter what. But that, for me, is when the big clubs, the Premier League as a whole and FIFA, have to put their hands in the pockets and be able to support financially those clubs that are struggling financially down the bottom of the leagues. Because, you know, to keep a club afloat from the lower leagues, I mean, without being derogatory, it's not a huge amount of money to be able to keep them going compared to a Premier League side. So a Premier League side could, you know, if they all club together in the Premier League said, look, right, instead of the money this season where you finish in the table goes to those lower league teams to make sure that they can stay in the football leagues, it has to be distributed better, I think, in terms of prize money. I think you have to just go again next season. And for me, Norwich is a strange one because, you know, Chris will tell you, and I know he's a football fan, and I know he wants Norwich to do well and he wants Norwich to stay in the Premier League. Norwich have been preparing for Championship football all season. They were preparing for Championship football the day they got into the Premier League. You know, for me, that's what they were ultimately doing. They were surprised to get in the Premier League in the first place. Of course, that's fantastic, and I'm sure they'd love to stay there. But actually, the preparations have been to go down anyway. So this would be seen as a bit of a bonus. And actually, does this go against their plan? If the plan was to prepare for Championship football next season and they do get the likelihood of staying in the Premier League by default, then how does that change things? You know, how does that change preparations inside the football club? So I'm sure they've already been preparing for Championship football.
You're absolutely right as well. When you mention some of these lower league clubs, I think what's worth pointing out, if you are a fan of a club in the Premier League, then your primary income stream is not gate receipts. It is from sponsorship, it's TV deals, it's all the stuff that comes with playing elite level football. If you're a League Two team, a League One team, then a few weeks without gate receipts might cripple some clubs. And it's a very interesting point you raise, actually, Darren, about Premier League clubs dipping their hands in their pockets. And I absolutely agree with you. Let me ask you, as a player, though, because this is 3 weeks off, say, at a minimum, say we do get back underway on that first weekend in April, are the players sharp? Because they haven't been training together. They've presumably been training at home, doing whatever the club's given them to work on their own in their home gyms or whatever facilities they have. Are players going to be up to scratch if we do get underway again in April?
Absolutely not. I think you can't replace training as a team and the intensity that you have on a day-to-day basis of that. So for me, it would essentially be starting a season again, you know, near the end of a season. That's what it would feel like. It'd have that type of feel about it. Lads not quite sharp enough. You know, we've seen from the winter break how it affected, you know, only for a couple of weeks or a week or so, it affected some teams in terms of their intensity. So, it, you know, it's very, very quick to lose that edge that you have. So it would be a very different looking team coming back into that running than it would be if we were carrying on through now. So, yeah, you can't get that sharpness back. What it does do is give the benefit of some players who have got potentially big signings injured, gives them an opportunity to get back. So for some clubs, it can be a bonus. But I don't see any of it being a bonus. It's almost like it feels to me as if it's got to be played out just to fulfil the fixtures and fulfil who goes where. It's not, you know, it's not about winning the title, because I think that, as Chris said, it's Liverpool have done that. It's more the other end of the table, which is important, but. Yeah, you know, I know Chris is again as a fan and says, look, we've got 5 winnable games. You know, they haven't won 5 in a row all season. So, you know, for me, it's not going to happen. But legally, I guess you'd have to say they do have an opportunity to do that. That's the argument, you know. And they can scream as much as they like to the Premier League about how we could have gone on a 5-run game and got ourselves out of trouble. Well, you might not have as well. You know, and that's the argument too. So that's why I just think the season has to be scrapped as it is, and you go again from next season. And you know, there needs to be a way of working out who comes into where. And I think Chris is right. I think that seems the obvious thing to do is to have those teams that still do come up and play with a slightly larger Premier League.
There are legal ramifications, I suppose, either way, because if you're Norwich and Aston Villa and whoever it might be who might get relegated with them, Bournemouth, West Ham, however it does get worked out, they might end up suing the Premier League for the decision they've made. Equally, if Leeds and West Brom aren't allowed to be promoted, they might end up suing the Premier League. The whole thing's a mess. Chris, I know I'm kind of throwing scenarios at you here, but it's because we're in uncharted territory. Another thing that's been suggested is potentially resuming this season as and when we're able to play again, finishing that, taking a short break and playing an 18-game season for the next season. I mean, how does that strike you as an idea?
I think that's an absolute nonsense, personally. I think that's a joke. And there's no way, as a football fan, I'd like to see that. And by the way, actually, and I think Darren, I knew it's going to be a pleasure being on Love Sport Radio with Darren Eadie, because he brings a fantastic point to the table, which is that Norwich City are actually one of the nicer and probably well prepared clubs in this situation, because as he's already said, we are so prepared for Championship football. And although it's going to be crushing to go down if that's what happens, for a club like West Ham, for a club like Watford, you know, these boys have put all of their chips on red. They've gambled on Premier League football next season. So actually, for Norwich, it's gonna be okay. We'll be all right. But I think you'll see some huge legal disputes between some of the bigger boys that will come down with Norwich City this season.
Yeah,
I think just jumping in on that, I think at one point, we look at Norwich City as a different sort of kind of thing to compared to any other team in the Premier League. You know, they're probably one club that is, you know, is self-funded. So if anybody is going to be affected by games not being played, it is Norwich City. Mm. You know, they do budget in terms of the funding from Sky and all that goes into the players and running the team. But a lot of the actual staff on a day-to-day basis is funded by ticket receipts. That's kind of how they do, you know, by that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody is going to be affected like that, it will be Norwich City. So for me, not playing games at the end of the season is more of an effect on Norwich City than it is if they stop the season and just went again next year, because those are important to Norwich City, those gate receipts. So for me, whatever happens is probably going to affect them financially that way, because they haven't got that big backer just to say, right, you know, 10 games have gone, you know, we can still afford to do that. Actually, Norwich City factor in those gate receipts every single week to fund the football club. And for me, I just hope that doesn't affect staffing within the football club, because that for me is an easy way out. It's an easy thing to say, is just say, look, we weren't able to fund this. You are a self-funding football club. You know, we need to get rid of these staff because we haven't had these 10 games. And that for me is more of a worry than a concern than actually the playing staff and actually the football club as a whole surviving.
Yeah, there's an unnamed Championship club chairman in the papers today saying that he's got a few, as any business, he has a few big outgoings every month. And the first one of those is the wage bill for staff, including playing staff, medical staff, everybody who works at and for the football club, but also HMRC. And quite simply, as a medium-sized business, he needs to get a break from the government on paying his bills. I mean, we're in real danger of seeing more clubs in the financial mire, like Bury, like Bolton have been, albeit not for reasons of their own making. But I think unless the government and the Football League and the Premier League are sensible here, Chris, then we're in real danger of potentially some clubs collapsing financially, aren't we?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I think you've quite rightly highlighted there. This is the moment that the Premier League top brass really need to, you know, put their money where their mouth is and show some support for football, for the sport, for the fans. Because as you've highlighted, I think if you continue, you know, Darren's said it already, you know, just two games for Norwich City without gate receipts will have an impact on staff. You know, we're talking here cleaners, people in the kiosks. These are, you know, just completely normal human beings just trying to crack on and basically put food on the table for their families. So, and that will be an even bigger effect for a team in the Championship, for a team in League One. So, it'll have a detrimental impact. And I just hope and pray that the Premier League, Big Cheese, they actually put their money where their mouth is and show some support for the league.
Yeah, listen, we're going to be talking about this in a few moments' time. It is the Norwich City Fan Show. I'm interested to hear from anybody this evening who does have thoughts on the way the coronavirus pandemic is going to affect football, is going to affect sport. What would you like to see happen? Look, it's a really open forum here. We just don't know what's going to happen. It's uncharted territory. 0208 70 20 558. I'm still going to be here with Chris Reeve. Thank you very much to Darren Eady. He's been with us for the first half of the Norwich Fan Show. Darren, it's been really good fun.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jade. And good luck, Chris. Have a good second half.
On the Ball City, Darren.
See you later.
Nice one. Norwich City legend there, Darren Eady. And we've got another one coming up. Adrian Forbes is going to be with us in a few moments' time. So stick with us, Norwich fans.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Norwich City Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. I'm still me, Joe Forrester, here with you. I'm with Chris Reeve, and I'm also with Adrian Forbes now joining us, Norwich City legend. Adrian, good evening.
Good evening.
It's lovely to have you with us, Adrian. Very, very strange times. It's nothing like a normal fan show, nothing like what we would normally discuss when it comes to talking football full stop. Let's just quickly have a look at what Daniel Farke said yesterday on the Norwich City website. He said this period will allow some of our injured players to continue their work. We also have to thank all of our supporters for understanding and being with us at this difficult time. We continue to take advice from doctors and medical staff and we'll be careful with our training methods. Essentially, Premier League players, elite level football players, are not in training at the moment. They have been given training programmes by their clubs. They're working at home. Adrian, as a footballer, how do you motivate yourself to do that? Is that anything like recreating what you would be doing in normal training? How does that impact you halfway through a season, having to train like that?
I think if you're carrying an injury or a knock, it obviously has the bonus and that gives you that little bit extra time to just recover and recuperate, ready to potentially go again in a couple of weeks. But there is the flip side of, you know, players want to play, players want to train, players need to train in order to perform to the best of their ability. You know, at this moment in time, everyone's looking at the 4th of April as the return to playing matches potentially. But how does that build up look for every player leading up to it? For me, I was personally never a player that was able to just coast during the week and then be able to perform on the match day. I needed to perform consistently and work hard consistently in training during the week to be able to reach the same levels, you know, on a Saturday. So it's not going to be easy. And people are out of the routine of being in training every day of the week or most days of the week. So it's going to be very, very difficult for these players to maintain their enthusiasm and momentum going into the games when they do return.
And from your point of view as a player, do you feel like you would be going a little stir crazy? I don't know how it works. I mean, I don't know if they've got, I was about to say videotapes, not videotapes, it's 2020, isn't it? But they've got a training regime that they've maybe been given by the club. And I mean, what if they live in an apartment and they don't have a garden to train in or whatever, or they're going to the gym? I don't know. I mean, would you be going a little stir crazy having to kind of do these routines on your own?
Well, obviously, from my point of view, working at Luton Town now, you know, we are on, from an academy point of view, we're on the shutdown. And I've been at home since the news was basically broken on Friday. It's only Sunday and I'm already going stir crazy. So I can imagine what it'd be like for players. But you mentioned something, you know, quite prominent there in that some of these boys, some of the younger players may live in apartments. So it's then finding a local park to go and do your work. I know certainly from Luton's point of view, again, with our younger players, we are going to give them programs to work on over a period of time to try and keep their levels of fitness. But, you know, it isn't as easy as just finding that local park or having a run in the garden. These boys, they can't go to a gym because obviously the gym, we don't know who's used the equipment prior to them going in there. So it's a real, real difficult time for players. But it is a situation that can't be helped, and unfortunately we have just got to get on with it.
And Luton in a similar position to Norwich, I suppose, as well. Down at the bottom of the Championship table, I mean, looking like they may go down, obviously, with a few games left to play, but still with a chance to get out of it. Are there discussions, I mean, even going on in the WhatsApp groups or whatever that you have at the club at the moment of, look, how do we handle this? Does the season stop now? Have we got to finish it? What's the fairest way? Is that something that you as clubs and staff there are discussing?
Of course, it's something that's gone through everyone's mind and, you know, it's been well-versed. Many a person has come out with different ideas or permutations of what could happen. It's a, who knows, you know, everyone's talked about finishing the season now. But if you finish the season now, there's going to be certain teams that will say, hang on a minute, we've got 20, six, 27 points to play for. What if we go on a run? If you finish it now, there's going to be a team like Sheffield United that are pushing for a Champions League place, or teams that might just fall short now of that Champions League place that might have the capacity to gain the points that would get them. How do you, what do you do with the playoffs if you finish it now? The teams that stay in the playoff, but a team finishes just outside, they get so many points to play for. So it's a real difficult scenario. You know, for me personally, I'd like the games to be played somehow, because I think that would be the fairest way to go about it. But we do also need to be mindful that we don't know how long this is going to continue. We don't know if games are 100% going to go ahead again, you know, in a couple of weeks' time. So I think there'll be people in a much higher pay grade than ourselves that will be sat behind the scenes this week trying to look at what we can do to basically finalise this season one way or another.
And Chris, you mentioned earlier to us about the behind closed doors idea. It's something that I mean, the first behind closed doors game I watched was PSG Dortmund in the Champions League. And it's very, very odd to see that. And you rightly pointed out that it does remove some of the element of a home advantage. And I wonder if that can be counted as a proper season. Would you, if that's the only way to get it done, would you like to see behind closed doors matches?
Absolutely not. I actually think behind closed doors is actually stupid for the reason that supporters will come to the ground and they will listen. You know, we are fanatics. We bleed yellow and green. There will be people that will stand outside the Barclays stand and will be listening to Radio Norfolk. And when a goal goes in, and there's for me to have games go on in the current climate behind closed doors, It's just silly. You know the scenes at PSG you've highlighted there, you know, they were fantastic, brilliant to see. But the amount of people that would have made contact that night, and it might sound like overkill, but for me, I think that we all need to be selfless in this current situation and not selfish. And I think a lot of, I've seen a lot of people that are like, yeah, we'll get games on and we'll do it behind closed doors. And actually, in a way, and I've read Wayne Rooney's comments this afternoon about players being used as guinea pigs, and actually, if you think about it, they are, because if you have the games going behind closed doors, it's all right for the players to have contact with other players, grappling each other, tackles, you know, saliva falls from one person to the other. I think games behind closed doors isn't the answer.
No, it is. I mean, it's a very strange, counterintuitive thing to watch as a fan. And Adrian, I wonder, as a player playing in an empty stadium, how does that affect you?
I think it would be a really weird scenario. And I think it's we've got to remember as well, you know, from a player's point of view, I say we are not playing anymore, but it's about entertaining as well. It's about that interaction and camaraderie with the fans, whether it be your home team fans or the stick you get from the opposition fans. It's all part of the day. It's all part of the event. It's all part of the game. And actually, that camaraderie can lift the player. It can bring a player down, which has an impact and effect on, you know, performance and result at the end of the day as well. I think for me, I was saying in the office on Friday that I can only link it to one of my last games, actually, when I was at Grimsby Town. And ourselves and Darlington had already been relegated, and it was the last game of the season. And it's obviously going back several years when Darlington were in that lovely new arena that they had. But there was only 2,000 fans in the ground. So, you know, you had a 22,000-25,000 seat stadium. 2,000 fans in there, all sat in different pockets of the ground. It was very, very surreal, very, very strange. There was little to no noise. From a player's point of view, you could hear every single thing that the player was saying. It was just weird. And I think for me, from a player's point of view, and, you know, I don't know if I can speak for every player out there, players would much rather perform in front of a capacity crowd or whatever ground they are at. It brings something different to the game. And actually, you know, if you look at some of those teams, if we link it to Norwich in the position they are, it's the old adage of the 12th man the fans are. You know, those 27,000 fans that go into Carrow Road each week do make a difference. They really do. So for me, I'd ideally try and find another solution to playing without fans and behind closed doors. But again, you know, we could be left with a situation where we might have no alternative.
And it does remove that, well, certainly a part of home advantage, doesn't it? Because one part is, of course, knowing the pitch, knowing the dimensions, just being used to it. But without, as you say, without those home fans, that is a huge, huge part of home advantage. And as Chris rightly pointed out earlier, Arsenal at home in that first weekend in April, should it get back underway, if there are no fans there, then that's not really a home game for Norwich. It removes that advantage.
It certainly does. And, you know, there'll be so many teams out there that will have, you know, ideally we want to kick off in this half so we can attack that end in the second half. Yeah. There's a reason why teams do that. There's a reason why they want to go and hit the, you know, go and score a goal towards the end that the fans are in second half of the game. They're all advantages that teams will try to utilise in any game. It maybe even things up if, you know, if it's behind closed doors. Maybe it makes the game a little bit more even, and it's down to the technical and tactical nous of the manager and that team to see how they perform on the day. But again, for me, it's an entertainment business, and I'm pretty sure majority of players would much rather play in front of fans as opposed to an empty stadium.
Listen, nice one, chaps. Been really good talking to you this evening. Adrian Forbes. Adrian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Chris Reeve from Talk Norwich City. Nice one, Chris.
On the ball, City.
On the ball, City. Indeed. Norwich City fans, look, it's going to be a very interesting season. However it pans out, should it pan out full stop, do let us know what you think, no matter who you support. We're in uncharted territory here at Love Sport Radio, 0208 70 20 558. You're listening to Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.